Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another fantastic episode of this Creators Radio Show. My name is Adam Homey. I am your host, and I am honored by your wise decision to tune in and invest in yourself today. Here, we are business creators. We're entrepreneurs, small business owners, local business owners. We're marketing and business coaches, consultants, and mentors. We're the folks who help others create and grow their businesses. On the other side, we have the do-it-yourselfers who like to have your own hands on the levers as you market. If you are one or more of the above, and in fact, many of the listeners who tune in every single week are all four of take a moment, our episodes, and discover how we help you win. It's business marketing at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. You're also going to want to check out on iTunes. Just do a search for Business Creators Radio Show. Every five-star rating is greatly appreciated. Helps us help more business creators just like you. And when you subscribe, fresh content will be added every week. Over 180 episodes are currently available for your immediate perusal. Today, today's episode for a long time. This is a guest that we have had on the Business Creators Radio Show, and when we were able to book him, I was there's a hole in the ceiling from how high I jumped with excitement when we got this job on. He's going to share with us something that's very near and dear to me, which we'll talk about a little bit more as we go through, which is how to build a seven-figure coaching and consulting business selling to fewer people. Did you hear that? How to build a seven-figure coaching consulting business selling to fewer people. To help us with that, we have coming on board with us today Dan Locke, also known as the King of High Ticket Sales. And for those of you who know Dan and those of you who are just now getting to know Dan, Dan Locke is one of the highest paid and most in-demand consultants in the high ticket space. I told you this is somebody we've wanted on the show for a long time. Dan is the creator of High Ticket Millions Methodology, the world's most advanced system for getting high-end clients and commanding fees with no resistance. He works exclusively with business coaches, consultants, executive coaches, and other services who want sustainable leveraged lifestyle and business through high-ticket programs and equity income. Dan Locke is one of the extremely rare keynote speakers and business consultants that actually owns a portfolio of profitable business ventures. Not only is he a two-time TEDx opening speaker, he's also an international best-selling author of over 12 books and is the host of the Shoulders of Titans show. Dan, welcome aboard.
Hey, Adam, I'm so excited and can't wait to share some of my hard-learned lessons with your listeners.
Oh, yes, and our listeners also know that not only am I the host of the Creators Radio Show, I'm in the audience with you. I have my notepad out. I have two pens beside me because I'm taking those looking at the slide edge in my business. And here's a little tip for everybody listening. You know how they say, you know, get a pad and paper and be ready to take notes? I say get a pad and two pens, because the ink on one pen will always be out just when you're having a major aha moment, and then you have to run to get another one while you're trying to listen and follow along and not lose your place. So have a pad of paper, two pens. Over now, before we dive in, this is what I like to do with everybody who appears on the show, is we read off our actual biography, and they're all very impressive, and especially Dan's here. But we might just get a little bit deeper for those of our listeners who are just getting to know Dan right now. Dan, about, you know, your personal journey brought you to the intersection of your business and your passion where you serve business creators now.
Well, I was born in Hong Kong, and I immigrated to Canada years ago when I was 14 years old with no money, no connections, and not a word of the English language on my lips. And by the age of 16, my mom and dad got divorced, and I'm the only child in my family. And unfortunately, after a year later, 17 years old, my dad's company went bankrupt in Hong Kong. So my dad lost everything. And from that point on, I got into business because I wanted to support my family. My mom kind of had to stop being a boy and had to grow up and be a man and take care of the family. And that's my motivation. So I started my first business as an entrepreneur when I was in high school. And in my entire life, I've only worked for one company, a supermarket, for 1 year. My whole life, I've always been working for myself as an entrepreneur. And of course, at first, you started your business, didn't know what I was doing, and I was just had all these crazy ideas. I thought that would maybe make some money, right? And my first business was mowing lawns for people in my neighborhood with a couple of my buddies, and I tried to fix some computers for people, and I tried to try mending machines like bubble gum, like all kinds of crazy ideas, and none of them worked very well, obviously. And I basically started and failed at 13 businesses. 13, Adam, 13 businesses fail before having my first success. So, and I lost all my mom's money. I lost all her savings. We maxed out our credit cards. And I was, at this one point in my life, I was very lost. I didn't know how I could get out of that place. And I, just like most people, I was reading all the books. I mean, I read How to Win Friends and Influence People. I read Think and Grow Rich 10 times.
Right.
The problem is, just there's a lot of thinking, just not enough riching. So that didn't work. And I went to a lot of the personal development seminars and try to improve myself. And they help to a degree, but I didn't get the breakthrough that I was looking for until I found my first mentor. His name is Alan. So Alan was my first mentor. And at the time, Alan runs a very successful financial seminar company in Canada. So I worked for him for next to nothing, basically volunteered for 1 year. But that year was an extremely important year of my life. I always refer that year as the million-dollar year of my life, because that year I got $1 million worth of education from Alan. And he taught me sales. He taught me marketing. He taught me communication. How do you time management, all these business skills. And from there, after I kind of graduated from that, and I started my own one-man advertising agency. I was writing sales copy for clients and doing consultations. So I've been doing consultation. Now I'm 35. I've been doing that for like 13 years now. I can't believe I said that, 13 years. My goodness. So, and in my early 20s, I probably was 22, 23 years old. And I was making about $10,000 a month back then, writing copy and doing consultation. Now, it may not be a lot of money for some people, but to me, that back then, that was like a lot of money. I was able to provide for my mom, paid off some of the debt, put some money aside, and fast forward today. I mean, now I've worked with and coached so many like thought leaders and consultants and coaches. I mean, been doing that for a long time. And my business model has always been about like high ticket sales, and that's working with, you know, fewer clients. Even when I was doing copywriting, I was not working with 10, 20 clients a month. I was working with maybe one or two clients per month, and that's been my model my whole life. What I noticed is when I started working with other consultants that this concept seems so foreign to most people. When I explain what I do, and oh no, anybody, and they don't have the business model, they don't quite get the high ticket concept, but the ones who are experienced like yourself, they would appreciate just the effectiveness of the high ticket model.
Yeah, and I can tell you it's very attractive to me because, and I've mentioned this on previous episodes of the Business Creators Radio Show, the way my business, the Business Creators Institute, is structured is I have a very small group of clients that I could hands-on with. We're talking some pretty high fees, it's executive level, and I've been having this handful of clients there in a variety of different industries. It makes it even more exciting because I get to have parts of the universe, just depending on the time of day it is. But I don't really want to build lots of little mini-atoms or little robot atoms that can replicate what I do, because the nature thing I nature of the way I do the copywriting and things like that for this small group of clients, this is only something I can replicate or source the first draft to. It comes from within me. And yes. Dundee, and I've been there that use the T-shirt as a dress rag on the, well, build a firm and then get a bunch of outsourcers to do all the effort and just manage it. That's me either. For the one many component of my business, we're going to be doing some courses that people can register for. And I might do a group mastermind in later 2017, beginning of 2018. It just depends on how some things line up. But as far as the one-to-many aspect or the leverage aspect, looking to build big teams to support me. I look at my model, people like, for instance, one of my mentors and mentors, Armin Morin, who I've been with in the AM2 program for at least, 8 years now, I think it is. And what I love about Armin's model is he only has a team of about five people, and they do their in the digits every single year, and they serve hundreds of thousands, hundreds or thousands. I can't remember what it is, but I mean, lots and lots of people all around the world with the AM2 program, some of whom have been there 10 or 15 years, and they do a tiny little group of people, and they change so many lives. That's the model that I like. And in order to build a model, something like that, I'm very excited about the idea of building a seven-figure coaching consulting business, sell it to fewer people. So what we need now, I think, is just want to dive right in. So we're going to actually skip slightly ahead here. And, you know, we're talking about building 7 figures with fewer people. But we have this huge problem in the industry. Mm-hmm. Why, Dan, do so many coaches and consultants undercharge for their service?
I think a lot of the coaches and consultants, most of us, Adam, there are many ways to make money. But I truly believe anyone who's in the consulting and coaching business, deep down, we all want to help somebody else. We want to help other people.
Yeah.
That's kind of how we got into the business in the first place, right? And we like that interaction in people. We like to see their transformation. We want to see people do better, okay? That's how we got into the business. And coaches, consultants, good people, they're nice people. And the average, as you know, the average coaches and consultants make less than $20,000 a year, $20,000 a year.
That's
And only works like with clients part-time. Now, they're working part-time not because they don't want to help people, because they cannot make a full-time living doing it, right? They might have, or sometimes they might have a good month. This month's pretty good, and then but next month is the kind of income roller coaster, right? So then next month is not so good. Oh, my God. Should I even be doing this? Am I good with this? Can I make a living doing it? And then the other month, okay, it's good. I should do this again. It's like ups and downs and ups and downs, right? And I noticed that's the problem. I think a lot of coaches, consultants, they have a negative association with promoting themselves. I think that's the first issue.
Right.
That they have a negative association with sales. That they're not comfortable asking. Forget asking for big money. They're not even comfortable asking for money. Right. They're embarrassed. Right, they're embarrassed to promote themselves. They have value, but they're like, well, yeah, you know, maybe I'll do a lot of, like, you know, some free coaching sessions. I hated that, by the way. It's one of the things that's, I think, being taught in the coaching industry. Oh, you got to do a lot of free sessions. Then you do enough of that, and hopefully you charge, you know, a little bit, and you charge, you know, $50 an hour, and then $100 an hour. Well, I mean, it's going to take you forever. Forget seven figure. It's going to take you forever to get to six figure, right? So I think that's a big issue. They are, I don't know why, but somehow they think that, well, but, you know, if I'm so good, I'm such a good coach, and I don't want to promote myself. I don't want to toot my own horn. I'm very humble. I actually think that's actually a very egotistical answer. Because you think
that's
about
it. That's an attorney right here. Please explain that. Because that's ironic. It's egotistical to be humble. Tell us about
that. Yeah, because you say, well, I'm humble. I don't want to tell people how good I am, and I don't want to kind of try to push my own services on people. And what you're saying is that I am so good, I don't have to promote myself. I am so good, I shouldn't have to lower myself to do this marketing stuff, to do this podcast stuff. I'm so good, I shouldn't have to lower myself to promote myself. That's for the lesser people, not like the God like me. They should be happy. They should beat a path to my door, if you think about it. In most cases, they're so good, they're broke.
That's a very interesting perspective, and something that's never occurred to me until today. They're so good, they're broke. And you know what I have? You mentioned it. There are folks out there who, this is actually not clients, but I've seen this, I hate to say a couple previous clients and just some people I've run into who have not become, it's just that sort of same mindset is, well, I'm a legend and everybody knows who I am, so I shouldn't have to market. Oh, they should appreciate the value.
Mm-hmm.
And now, now they're looking at it through. I think this might be part of what's going on. Is it is true that they are legendary in a certain segment, a certain niche, and in some cases because of something that happened 10 years ago. Well, that was 10 years ago. History is evolved and the competition has evolved. So all the lessons of why you need to market yourself and why you need to promote yourself remain just as true whether you're a legend or whether you're an up-and-comer.
Yes, and there's no relationship, absolutely no relationship, between good at what you do and getting paid. There's a huge relationship between being good at what you do, being able to promote and sell, and getting paid. And it's unfortunate because... Right? And it's unfortunate because coaches and consultants, when I meet with them, I tell them, think about this. There are so many people out there. You have your gift. You have your talent. You have your expertise. There are so many people out there, they need you. There's a lot of lives out there that they need. They won't. Their lives won't be transformed if they have not met you. The problem is they don't know that you exist. They don't know that you could help them. Because you just hide in your own little shell, and you don't want to get it out there. And that's very sad. That's very, very sad. So don't let that stop you. Do not let that stop you. Not at all.
Right.
And I always say,
you know,
as coaching consultant, when do you want to do marketing?
I love it.
It's when you don't need clients. I'll say that again. When is the best time to do marketing? It's when you don't need clients. I am busier than ever. Yet I'm doing more marketing than ever. I have my mastermind group, I have my high level clients. Most people would be just, hey, you know what? Let me just focus on this. No, look, I'm on a show. I'm doing a show with Adam. Just 3 hours ago, I was doing another interview show.
I'm sorry, Dan. I have to end this interview now. I have to go market some more. No, I'm just kidding.
Right? You
seriously.
Know, it's
seriously,
like,
makes
right.
It's the same thing with finance. Best time to ask for a loan is when you're flush with cash.
That's it. Not like, oh, I'm struggling. I can't pay my rent, and now I need to get some clients. Here's the problem. When you are coming from that place, you're desperate, you're needy, and please write this down if you're writing stuff down. Needy is creepy. No clients. No clients want to. Do you want to work with someone who's desperate? Do you want to work with someone that's needy? No. They want to work with a professional. They want to work with someone who's calm. They want to work with someone that's not like, ooh, that's like in this frantic energy. They don't like that. Nobody likes that. They want to work with someone that's in demand, that is successful at what they do. It's human nature. So when you don't need clients, that's when you do more marketing because law, supply, and demand. You want to use that to your advantage. When you're so busy, you drive up more demand. When you drive for more demand, what could you do? You increase your prices. And you keep doing that. You keep doing that. And as you increase your prices, guess what happens? You attract higher quality, more committed clients.
Oh, good gracious. If you'll let me interject a brief story here.
Yes.
When I made can were broke to the clients. I had experience, and I love to tell this story.
Yeah.
This was somebody who teaches lawyer marketing. He's an attorney himself, and he teaches other attorneys in a specific niche how to market and grow their practices. And we came on board, worked with him for about a year. Until we changed our business, when we just moved on to a different opportunity. You know, he's a great guy. I love the guy. And it was our third project working with him. The first two projects went great, and he asked for a third project. You know, wrote up the proposal and everything else back when I was doing proposals. That's back in the day. And I sent out the proposal on a Tuesday afternoon, expecting that I'll hear the next day with maybe one or two questions. You know what I got instead, Dan? You want to know what he wrote back to me?
Please.
I'll tell you what he wrote back. He said, I hope that we haven't wasted an entire day with you just sitting around waiting on a quote okay from me. What I have is money. What I don't have is time. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to be waiting. I don't have time for this jerking around. We know well that you can do what I'm asking. I know you'll do it well. Charge my card and tell me when it's done. Now, some people may hear that and they say, well, he was mean. We can't allow that kind of poisonous toxic energy in. We have to retreat to safe space and scare away the big boogeyman. I knew exactly what to do. I wrote back. I said, we'll call him Fred. That's not actually his name. We'll call him Fred. I said, I am so happy that in the very short time we worked, such a huge level of mutual trust and respect, we can just move forward like this. Be advised that I've charged $3,700 to your Amex. You'll see the first week from Friday. And very, very iconic, very flat. Not that you would ever think of even smiling anytime, really. I mean, one of those very flat types. And I got an email back from two minutes later, and it said, I knew you'd understand me perfectly. Nice going, Grasshopper, with a smiley face.
Awesome. Awesome.
That was an insight to the mind of the affluent buyer. If they're calling you in the first place, they've already done their research. They know you can do the job. It's simply your job to deliver, maybe throw in a little bit more and make them very happy. Because as my mentor, Jim Palmer, likes to say, Dream Business Coach, he likes to say that they're the type who know how to know that it's possible to buy speed, which means you pay premium in exchange for faster mission service. Now, think about that for a second. You are selling to fewer people but charging a higher rate. Can you deliver better service to the people that you're serving?
Absolutely. And if you think realistically, people think, I'll give you a perfect example. Because I used to have a lot of these like courses online and people can buy, and it's $1,000, $2,000, and you were marketing these courses. And Adam, I mean, as you know, people buy these courses, and there's no, people who buy it, first of all, everybody knows who's in the industry. Most people never even study the materials. They never open the package, okay? And the ones who actually open the package, very few people ever implement. And for those who implement, very few people follow through. Why is that? Skin in the game. When someone spends $1,000, $2,000, for most people, okay, it's a decent amount of money, but it's not a very serious amount of money. It's like, try this thing, and it works, it doesn't work, and they buy the next thing, and they buy the next thing. So they're not very committed to their own success, if you think about it. Now, from our point of view, someone buys a $1,000 course from us. Yes, we give them the download, we give them the videos, here's some PDF, and help yourself. Chances are, we don't know who they are. They're like a digit in a database, right? You get a credit card, you have a name. Even though if they want to reach out to us and say, hey, Adam, I want some more help from you, it's not much we could do for you because of the investments that you've made. I want to help you, but my time is worth so much money, I can't. You see the problem? Versus they invest in a serious amount, whatever the amount is. Let's say instead of $1,000 course, how about a $10,000 program? Their commitment level is different. Your commitment level is different.
Yes.
They are all in, and you go all in. Now, think about the results that you create. They're not dabbling. They are going, you know what? It's $10K. I'm gonna make this thing work, right? I'm gonna find the value. I'm gonna create the freaking value, right? Somewhere here. That's a very different mentality, and that changes the relationship.
Like I told you about. I mean, some owners may be saying, "Wow, to get $3,700 on a project, how much persuasion skill do I have to use to get to part with $3,700?" And meanwhile, we had a guy who was actually upset that I took an extra day to charge his card.
Yes. Isn't that interesting?
He was actually bothered that I waited to check with him to make sure it was okay before taking $3,700 for a project he had requested.
Yeah, and there are two good points I want to share with you. Number one, let's talk business for a second. Let's talk numbers for a second. Let's say if you want to get to, let's say, $100,000 a year. Just for example, like the easy numbers, right? $100K, and you're starting out. And if you're selling a $50 ebook, it's selling how many damn freaking ebooks you got to sell to get to $100K? Just think about it.
I'm not gonna think about it, Dan. I'm gonna do math. 2,000 ebooks you got to sell.
That's a lot of ebooks, man. Right?
Yeah. There's 2,000 people in your niche that you're reaching right now. If you have a 2,000 mail list, you got to have 100% conversion. And in an industry where 5% conversion is be aspired to, what the heck, man?
Yeah. And so versus, let's say you sell a $10,000 offer. Well, how many of those do you need to sell? One a month.
Yeah.
For 10 months.
Take the
2 months off, right? Summer and December.
Yeah.
You hit your $100K. That's what I'm talking about. That's how you have simplicity. That's why it's not about more clients. It's not about more revenue. It's less. Less is more. That's first point. Second point I want to share with you. Very, very important point. Do you know why most coaches and coaches and consultants, they struggle to sell to people? Put it this way. This is one of the most important things I could share. Most of them, they struggle. They don't know how to sell to what I call players with money, PWM.
Right.
They don't know how to sell to players with money. Just like your example, your story is perfect. That's a high achiever. That's a type A personality, impatient. They don't know how to sell to affluent clients. Adam, do you know why?
Please tell me. That's why you're here.
Because they are not one themselves. And they have low self-esteem. So what happens, you look at all the coaches out there, what everyone is trying to do, they're trying to turn losers into winners. Adam, I'm not in the business of turning losers into winners. I'm in the business of helping winners win more. I'm not trying to help someone who's like struggling, or I don't want desperate money, I'm struggling, I'm a startup. I don't work with startups. I'm helping people.
You know what? You're right.
Right?
I know. You and I are so much in the same way there. I usually turn down startups for some of the very reasons, because I just don't see myself as being equipped to help startups. We have one startup client right now, but let me tell you, they are the exception, because they're the action takers. They're the ones that take the steps, and they're moving from startup to established business. Still in startup mode, and they already have others in their industry citing them as the best example. I'll work with that type of startup, but 99% of them, no.
Yeah, I don't want to turn someone who's like, for example, if someone is making no money or $10K a year as a coach, for me to take that person to get a six figure, that is hard. Okay, it's not hard for me. It's hard for them. Here's why. Because I know that person, not the technique, not my methodology. There's a lot of stuff going on mentally with that person. Limiting belief, problem, maybe negative associations with money, whatever that's going on. There's a lot of stuff that's holding that person back. In order for me to help that person break through that, it's hard. Versus, let's say you and I, if you're six-figure, someone who's making six figure, that tells me a lot about that person. He does good work. He has a track record. He has a lot of foundational skills already, right? To take that six
right.
figure to seven figure, it's much, much easier because you are already a winner in the first place. Because your success, the six figure, already demonstrates you are a winner. Otherwise, you wouldn't get the six figure in the first place, right? Because less than 6% of the population makes over $120,000 a year. 6%. Less than 1% of the population makes over $325,000 a year. 1%. So anyone
right.
that's in that income bracket, I know they are the top achievers in this field. And they're 80% there, and I just go in and help them, give them that 20%. And it's like people say, oh, Dan, you're like, that's the Midas touch. Like, it's not about, like, I some magic about me. My magic, I'll tell you the big secret, is client selection. I don't bet on a losing
yeah.
horse. I bet on a winning horse. Hey, you know what? This is a winning horse. This is going to win. It's just a question of when. So the only difference, every single one of my client, the only difference, I tell them point blank when we talk, and in the beginning of a relationship, with or without Dan, you're going to be successful. The only difference is, without me, maybe it will take you 4 years, 5 years, 8 years. With me, it's going to take you 1 year. That's really the difference. You're buying time. You're
yeah.
buying speed, right? It's not because I am so great and I have my magic power. It's not that. It's you already got 90% of the pieces. I just give you the 10%. That's my model.
Yeah, and you know, I've heard it said before that that the most difficult $1 million you ever make is your first million. Once you cross that, it gets a lot easier.
Much, much, much easier. So I'm saying, why fight at the bottom with everybody else? And here's the thing, because the low self-esteem, the lack of self-esteem, they're not comfortable working with people who are not struggling. Because they project, here's a big part, they project their own struggles onto their clients. So
wow, this is an
I have no money as a coach. I work with people who's got no money. I work with the people who are struggling. They can't afford to pay me because they're struggling. So let me charge less. Let me give them a discount. Let me give them 50% off. And you wonder why they don't get results and why you are frustrated and you struggle because of that.
Whoa.
Why would you build a business serving and building, try to sell to people who's got no money? Tell me. Sell to people who's got money, then give to the poor. Don't try to build a business around that. That's what I'm saying.
I never heard of that. And here's something else that comes up when I think projecting, and I think that I've been guilty of this some points in my business development when I was working with different types of clients as I was working my way along here is when I was in a place where I wasn't making much money, I was first starting out before I began to have experiences with affluent clients and recognize that they're much easier and more fun clients to work with, is that you will end up assuming that because it would be a big deal for you to afford a software or you to do a certain thing with your videos, that you're not going to recommend that they do because it would cost them a little bit of money. Meanwhile, the thing that you really would struggle with is nothing to them. It's like, oh, you want to get Infusionsoft? Get Infusionsoft.
Yeah.
I'm just using it as an example because, you know, when you hear the word Infusionsoft, there's usually a pretty big price tag that comes with that. So, but there are many other examples. I just wanted to
yes.
pick something that a lot of our audience would understand immediately. But
yes.
when you yourself are not in a place to make those investments in your business, you end up assuming that your own clients invest in those things, like softwares, or to bring on an extra set of hands to help with the launch or something like that, or to do ad spends or something along those lines.
Yeah, and it's like I don't – like every single one of my – like I've only got 12, right? I've got 12 one-on-one clients. Every single
yeah.
one of them, as quote-unquote successful as I am, every single one of those one-on-one clients that I have, every single one of them makes more money and much wealthier than I am. Much wealthier
yeah.
than I am. And that's how it should be. That's how it should be. Because you are helping them, they are paying me for a specific reason to help them to solve a specific problem. So you want them to be more successful than you. That's how they could pay you the fees that you want. Hello, right? You think
yeah.
about it. You don't want them to be, you know, why would you want them to be, have less money? It makes no sense. It just makes no sense. But again, because I'm secure, I'm comfortable in my own skin, that I'm not insecure. Oh, I can't work with them. Or why would they hire me? Or am I too young? Am I too old? I don't have enough experience. All this BS, right? It's not true. It is not
yeah.
true. I mean, think, Adam, even now, okay, even now, there are people who say I'm too young for this. Imagine when I was in my 20, 23 years old, I was consulting with people, right?
Yeah, well, Dan, I'll tell you, I've been bobbing off and on my radar screen for about 10 years now. And,
yes.
And when we make the connection a few weeks ago to get you booked on the Business Creators radio show, it was all like a dream come true to me.
Yeah.
So, you've been out there for a long time. You're not a newbie by any means. And you mentioned you've been in business for about 13 years. I'm in
yes.
my 40th year of business. So it's
like,
real time. Very similar.
Exactly. It's like now I'm too young, so I'm 35. Then guess what? When I'm 40, 45, people would say you are too old.
Too old.
Then my question is, when is a good time? What is a good age?
There's two ways to answer that. And completely bad. One is, it's never going to be the right time. You're never going to be the right age. And another way of looking at it is, right now you're the right age. And they
That's
both
it.
Come out to the same thing.
That's it. That's what I'm saying. It's all limiting belief. It's all this mental, you know, emotional baggage. It's mental barrier, mental bullshit. It's not true. It is not true. And that's, in the meantime, people are thinking, I'm too old, I'm too young, I don't have enough experience, or this and that. While they're doing that, I'm just building my own thing. I'm serving people. I'm helping people. Go ahead. Let that delay you. I don't have time for that. I just keep on moving.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I like to give examples when we talk about somebody who's too old or too young. I mean, let's look, for instance, at Mark Zuckerberg, a very young man, and look what he's accomplished in his youth. I mean, he's younger
yeah.
than both of us.
Yes.
And as a counterexample, I give you Winston Churchill, whose moment did not arrive until he was 65 years old.
Yeah.
And up until that point, his career could be narratively described as having some ups and downs. But
yeah.
moments where his passion and his brilliance intersect to give him the opportunity to make a contribution to history did not arrive until the point where most people retire. A lot of people are saying, even in his own day, come on, this guy is like 65 or a million years old. How the hell is he going to defend our country? We're going to be under attack any moment here. What's he going to do? You know, have a stroke the minute the bullets fly? And he turned out to be the savior of human freedom. I mean, so was he too old? No. Is Zuckerberg too young? They both able to do what fell at the intersection of their brilliance and passion at the right time in their lives.
I mean, Adam, I'll give you a perfect example. My longest client that's been with me the longest, I started with him when I consulting with him when I was 24 years old, around that, okay? He's 24, 25, he's been with me like eight, nine years. And he owns one of the largest like digital marketing firms in the audiologist niche, okay? Think, for all these times, I was talking with him, I talked to him on a weekly basis, right? The other day, we were talking, you know, Dan, I'm like, in 2 years, I'll be 65. It's like, wow, you know, you're almost twice my age. You're almost twice my age, and yet I've been consulting with you for like almost 9 years. That's incredible, truly, truly incredible. And that's why it's nothing to do with that. There's something that you can offer, there's value that you can offer. It has nothing to do with the age. It has nothing to do with that. And you have he used to be a marketing consultant to Fortune 500 companies before he started his own thing. So it's like, but you might think, well, what right do I have? What credentials do I have as a 20-somewhat years old to be a consultant, a mentor to someone who consults for Fortune 500 companies? Well, there's some value, some unique, that something unique about you that you can bring to the table that you can offer. So don't, do not let, I see the good thing about me, I'm like, I'm almost too naive and to think of otherwise. I didn't know you couldn't do it. I didn't know you're
right.
not supposed to be a consultant in early 20s. I didn't know if I'm too young, I'm going to consult with someone that's twice as my age. I just don't have that in me, right? I just kind of do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you have some people in the world who are so afraid of making a mistake in the first place, or they're once bitten and they're perpetually shy. And then you have other folks who seem to just bounce from one mistake to the next, or bounce from a mistake to a smashing success, who just keep going like meteors. They take hits on an annual basis. It will be enough to knock 20 people, and they just keep going.
That's
because
it.
They lack that gene that says that, well, if you failed, you're supposed to be nervous. You're supposed to be worried about this. You're supposed to be humble. You're supposed to pull back. You're supposed to consolidate, play a smaller game. That just doesn't exist for them. These are the types of folks who could say, for instance, own a football team, and then the football team goes bankrupt, and they say, okay, cool, I'll own an airline now. It's like it doesn't phase one bit that they just failed spectacularly. They're just going to do something else. If you could take a little bit of that and spread that out over everybody who needs it, it would be the right amount for everybody to have a successful life.
Absolutely, and we don't take failures personally. It's just an incident, and we learn from that. That's what we're saying here. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So from your experience, and you know, we have about 17 minutes here, and we are just rolling along. I'm loving it. What is the most effective way to attract high-end clients? You know, we've spoken a little bit about, we'll talk a little bit about the closing as well. We've talked about, you know, how you got into ticket selling, why people undercharge, some of the psychological factors, the projection, which is something new to me. But how do you attract those high-end clients in the first place?
I think, first of all, it's not so much because now here's a problem. Like we see, there's so many vendors and service providers and software and all these things selling to coaches and consultants. I mean, you turn on you log into your Facebook. I mean, Jesus, right? I mean, everybody's trying to get some money from coaches and consultants, right? First of all, you got to look at all that stuff. This guy's promising you they could get clients for you through PR. That guy's promising, you should do a podcast. And that guy's saying, hey, you should do a live event. And that guy's saying you should run Facebook ad and do webinar. You know what I mean, right? And then you say, you're totally confused. And which one works and which one doesn't? I'm saying that's not the point. Because you have people, you have coaches, consultants that are making a lot of money, getting a lot of good leads through Facebook. And yet you have coaches and consultants who lose their shirts running Facebook ads.
Right.
It's not Facebook.
Facebook ads never worked out for me. Yeah, it never worked out for me personally.
Yeah.
I've tried it several times, and I'm at a point right now where if I were to ever delve into that again, it'd be because I hired somebody else to do it for me, and I would be counting on them, whether they were 61 years old or 21 years old, for all I care, as long as they can make my ad investment and turn into leads and clients for me.
Yes, yes. And that's why they missed the whole point. If they focus on the tactic. The tactic could work or succeed or fail, but they missed the most important ingredient, and that's what's behind the tactic.
Yeah, here's what I like to say when somebody says you need to or you have to. Like, I've been told over the years that I need to do talking head videos, get on Facebook Live and walk down the street while holding my camera up to my face. Mm-hmm. I have made it clear, and I've said this on the Business Creators Radio show before, if you ever see me doing a live video or even a recorded video where I'm putting my smartphone up to my face while I'm walking down the street, my permission and my blessing to step right up to me and shoot me through the head.
Mm.
Because I will not do that.
Yeah.
It just, I mean, I see people killing it doing that. They're doing awesome with it. They're growing their businesses, getting all the clients they want, living happy, fulfilled lives. Good for them. That tactic works for them. I have other ways of accomplishing the same thing that don't involve me having to point a camera at myself because I just don't want – I'm not focused on the tactic. I'm focused on the result. People are talking videos. I have other things. Goal is the result, not how you do it.
So it goes back to, as a coach and consultant, you said it perfectly, Adam. It's knowing your natural talents and your strengths, and you want to build on that. Like, obviously, you're awesome at podcasts, just your voice, projection, questions. I mean, it comes natural for you. On the other hand, for some people, they may be terrified to do this, right? What's natural, easy to you, is hard for others. On the other hand, there's some people, maybe they're very good with blogging, that they're very good writers. Well, do that. What I'm saying is knowing what you are good at, and you pick one, that one channel. My model is very simple. I teach all my students. One channel. You master that one channel, drive them to one, not 10, one offer, one funnel. From that one funnel, one phone call. Because when you want to sell high ticket, you got to get them on the phone because you have to get personal. You have to find all their needs. One phone call, one call, and then you sell them. And then you have one front-end offer, and you have one back-end offer. That's my entire business model. I'll give you a perfect example to kind of hit bring this home, okay? I just got a phone like the other day with a very well-known like internet marketing guru, very well-known. I'm not going to name any names, but very well-known, okay? And we were just talking about our business accomplishments, and kind of like two buddies just catching up, right, in last year. Now, here's the thing, Adam. Now, this well-known internet marketing guru friend, he has over 100,000 subscribers on his list. He has over 7,000 paying customers from like trial offers and low-ticket offers and membership site recurring, everything. He has 9 sales funnels. He has 4 webinars running. He has 28 different Facebook ads all running at the same time. He sends out a daily email to his list. I mean, he's spending a lot of time, effort, developing leads and trying to convert them and this and that. He has over 20 independent contractors working on his stuff. He works about 10 to 12 hours a day, 6.5 days a week. He takes about half a day off on Sunday because he goes to church. And he's already planning for the next – he does about 3 product launches a year. And so, you know, getting affiliates on board and all these things. Here's the thing. Him and I, we both generated more than 7-figure in revenue from our consulting coaching business last year. Yet his business, his quote-unquote successful business, generated only 10K. Listen, 10K more net profits than my little part-time high-ticket business. I only have 47 clients and members.
See, that's – and remember me saying at the beginning of your interview, and I cited Armin Warren, AM2, as an example of a very small company that serves a very broad range of people with a very tightly knit, closely held staff that works at peak efficiency and does not require you to have, like, you know, 25 little robots and things like that. That is a model – to serve the maximum amount of people with on a physical effort. Hey, that's a dream business.
Right, that's it's a simple business. I mean, is there a difference in terms of infrastructure between my business that is serving 47 people versus that's serving 7,000 people? Right? I don't have all these, like, right, you know what I mean? I feel bad because I barely email my list, right? Right. He spends 90% of his time promoting, selling, doing the next product launch, creating the next product and all this stuff. In the meantime, I spend 90% of my time just serving.
Right. And that's what I'm working towards in my business.
Yeah, and I don't mind, like, I don't mind, I don't mind sharing numbers because I usually don't talk numbers, but I don't mind sharing numbers. So 47 people, right? So I have 35 members. I have 35 members in my high-level mastermind, Deadlock Inner Circle, which is all online. You know exactly who my members are. Deadlock Inner Circle.
Oh, yeah.
So at 24K a year, that's 24K a year, 35 members. That's one That's my front-end program, right, that I talk about, two offers. Front-end, my back-end, one-on-one, I charge on average $100K a year. I have 12 clients, as I shared with you. That's all I got.
Yeah.
That's all I got. That's all I have.
Yeah, and you said 35 clients who pay $24,000 a year,
yeah,
which is $2,000 a month. Which is, I mean, I am personally familiar with a half dozen X programs that charge more than $2,000 a month. I mean, that's nothing. That's pocket change.
Yeah.
You know, one of my mentors charges $47,000 a year for his VIP program, and it's a great
exactly
program.
Exactly.
But so let's do that math, because you know I like my calculator. 35 times 24,000 is $840,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
I know that 70% of the people who are either listening to this live or will be listening on iTunes or Stitcher or anywhere else we appear will be content for with a third of that.
And
which means they would need. Since a third of 35 is like 11
mm-hmm
clients, $24,000 a year make their life.
Yeah. Again, the difference is
not hard.
Here's the thing. Here's one more thing. Out of that, so they say one-on-one client. Just do the numbers, right? One-on-one client, $100K. It's roughly about $2 million together. Okay. So
right,
$2 million, but what I do, once a month, I do my mastermind meeting. I do once a month. I run my mastermind group very differently. We can dive into that if you want to, just the logistics of it.
Sure.
But I run my group totally different from everybody else. But here's the kicker. Look at all the mastermind group. My people, most of them, have been with me 1 year to as long as 3 years in my mastermind group. 3 years,
yeah,
in mastermind group. And so my retention is 80% or more. Actually, it's 83%, but let's say 80% or more,
right,
round it up. I mean, that's why I don't need to go and look and hunt for the next clients. I don't do that. I don't need to do that. I'm just focusing on nurturing the people that I have and helping them grow, and that's why we have this long term
right
relationship. I call them my family. They are my family. We spend a lot of
yeah
time together. We do business together. We partner on projects together. And that's
right
my model, and that just and nothing wrong with that. It's just not a people. My friend is also very successful. He's got the product launch and speaking and traveling around doing all that. That's all great. I'm just saying that's not for me.
Right, exactly. Like I've had conversations with people who are who style themselves digital nomads and live in 14 countries a year. And Dan, I'm going to tell you, you know what I really want to do is I want to travel once in a while, but more interested in hanging out here with me. So
yes,
the whole digital nomad thing is not going to work for me. The occasional travel, yeah. The idea that I can choose where I work that particular day, I can pick my laptop up, go to some other place right here in Las Vegas, sure, absolutely. But
yes,
just the idea of not grounded, she thought about doing it. I looked into what it would be like and what my lifestyle would be like, and the deal breaker was I wouldn't have my cats, and they're my babies. I'll never give them up. So there's a cat. So that and my cat, one of them, Stella, is laying on her little cat bed, which is actually a garbage bag filled with shitter confetti. You pay them cat treats. They want a garbage bag full of shitter confetti. You give them what they want, right? And isn't
yeah
that kind of it's like with affluent buyers? It's really kind of a matter of give them what they want. They're clear on what they want. They have goals. They have researched you. They know who you are. It's
yes
just serve, deliver. I mean, that to me is easier than haggling over $2,400 project. And then on the project, they want to complain to try and get free stuff out of you.
Yeah, and it's all about totally. I mean, I think you hit it. You said it perfectly. It's about structuring your consulting and business, your consulting business that serves you. So you're not a slave to your business. Like you said, if you want to travel a bit, hey, you know what? If I want to travel a little bit, maybe I do some little consulting gig or with my client or do a speaking gig, and I stay a couple of days extra vacation with my family, awesome. Do that. I do that all the
time. Sounds good.
That sounds good.
That's my
And with me, like I have a few rules, policies. Everybody knows who works with me, right? I don't do business meetings
yeah
outside of my house. Everybody comes to me. I don't care if the guy's a billionaire. He comes to me. I don't
right
I don't do business lunch. I don't do any of that stuff. That's number one, right?
Yeah, I don't mean coffee. It doesn't happen.
Yeah, it does not happen. So, like right now, I'm doing my interview, like in my office. So with my home, actually, if you type in like Dan Lok home, you can see how I structure my business. I have a massage chair. So sometimes when I'm doing consulting call, I'm getting a massage, right? You know, at the same time, right? I've got a basement where I have a gym. That's where I work out. So here I have a theater, home theater. So I have like this is a place, my home. It's where I work, where I play, where I exercise. Clients come over, I meet.
Yeah.
My life, it's very, very, it's simple, but it's around, evolves around what I do. Right, what I want to do.
Right.
Versus, do I go to meet with this client? What about the? You don't need to. I'm saying it's possible. That's what I'm saying. It's not going to be overnight, but it's possible.
Uh-huh. I just want to say to our listeners that if you do a Google search on Dan Lok, L-O-K home, you will find 8-minute YouTube video of Dan's home. I'm going to watch this myself, so you can see it for yourself. And when the same Google search was all interesting to me is it's very high in the search. I come across a page. I have to open this up and see what it is. I don't know if it's a podcast interview or whatever it is, but it looks like you've had some. Oh, it's one of your mentors, Dan Pena, the $50 billion man. Now that's a guy I like.
Yes, yes. And Dan's been my mentor for like again probably eight, 9 years now. A long time. And I'm the only one. And I'm the only one that has all his information on my website. I mean, I'm grateful, and I'm honored that he has my picture in his castle, the wall of fame. You can see my photo on there and stuff like that. But I'm grateful.
Oh yes, I'm on the page now. You're on the wall of fame, which means there with Jesus Christ and President.
That's too kind.
I've watched some of his videos. I mean, he puts out complete videos of his seminar, and he talks about the wall of fame. And isn't there also a wall of shame? Like people really
right next to this wall of shame and this wall of and like on the wall of fame, you see my photo, but you also see like a painting, like a Chinese drawing. That's my birthday gift that I sent to Dan. It's basically Quantum Leap in Chinese. That you can see on the wall theme as well.
Nice. Well, you know what, Dan? We're right at the top of the hour here. We have like 2 minutes left. So this, I think, is a good place to break off because it's given people a vision of what this can be like. So if they want to explore further, how do they connect with you and how do you see your business create?
Two things they could do. I would recommend go to my YouTube channel. They can type in Dan Lok, subscribe to that. I have hundreds of videos on there. And I post a lot of stuff on there. That's first thing. Second, if they want to, I hang out quite a bit in my Facebook group. So if they want to go to HighTicketGroup.com, it will redirect them to my private Facebook group, just strictly for consultants and coaches. So I hang out there quite a bit as well.
Oh, great! Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I might have to check out that group myself. I'm looking at it. High Ticket. I think it said High Ticket. Consulting.com, was that the domain?
HighTicketGroup.com.
HighTicketGroup.com, I'm seeing some looking at it's a closed group, so you have to request to join. But
correct.
I'm just seeing some of the other members of the show. I know a few of these people. I might have to pop in there myself if you'll allow me.
Oh, yeah, definitely do that. 100%.
Okay, great. So Dan Lok, I want to thank you so much for taking time out to hang out here in the Business Creators Review Show. It's been an honor and an education.
Thank you, Adam. It's been an honor. I love your questions. Can sense your passion. And I hope the listeners, they get something out of it and just take action, just make some changes to the business. And I think they'll be happy with the results.
Absolutely. For everybody listening, this is Adam Homey, host of the Business Creators Radio Show. Check out our previous and our upcoming episodes at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com.